Did you see that thread on Twitter? I don't even know who it is. Someone. Today, people, my three-year-old will answer any of your questions. Twitter, hit me with all the questions. So it was literally like, what should I eat for lunch? Or decisions about work? Or like, should I stay with my partner? You know, all this
amazing.
Kind of
amazing.
Like, and then she literally like wrote and described what her three-year-old said in response. And it was like, she just spun around in a circle, sat on the floor and said, no.
Is that next up in your email?
I was going to include it in my email. It was one of my possible...
Your Google schnitz or whatever it is.
Indeed. But there's also like a video of a ferret dancing, which actually made me lose my shit. So, I don't know. Hello. You're listening to the Doing It For The Kids podcast, where we swear a bit too much and talk a bit too fast about freelance life with kids in the mix. I'm Frankie and this is Steve.
Hello. Yes. Welcome to what can only be described as another one then. Episode what? 23?
23,
where each week we take a different question from the Doing It For The Kids community, do our best to answer it, but of course we also then ask for your comments, your experiences to share. And yeah, last time the question was
raising your prices.
Oh yes,
it was about raising your prices, when to do it, how to do it.
As predicted, lots of people getting in touch. Thank you so much for your comments, especially because some of them are so long, so detailed. Go back, search the Doing It For The Kids community for episode 22 and read some of them. Laura Mingotsi Marsh. Laura said, When Frankie demanded we up our rates earlier this year.
So for context, I did an Instagram post over the summer at some point that was literally like, put your rates up, end.
Well,
it was a demand.
Laura did it. I upped my hourly and daily rates and not a single new client has batted an eyelid. If anything, I have bigger budget clients now because my rates better reflect my extensive experience. I have two regular clients who have always stated their budget and I knew that they couldn't increase them. So with them, I explained that I would not up my rate, but would be hoping to complete their jobs more time efficiently. It has totally worked. They now ensure that they keep their rounds of amends to a minimum so that they can pay me the same amount for fewer hours. So now I have more free time to do other work or just to spend with my kids, having earned the same amount. How cool is that? I love that.
It's great, isn't it? Boom. Mm. It's a good approach to anyone that doesn't want to pay you more because they can't afford to. They have to compromise by therefore, yeah, stepping up in terms of productivity and feedback and stuff.
Like
genius.
That. Thank you, Laura.
Lisa Clavering says, I think on the whole we feel a lot more emotional about this than our clients. I took a very matter-of-fact approach. I started freelancing April last year, and in February I emailed existing clients to say I'd be upping my fees in the new financial year. I explained that work already committed would remain at the same rate, but for new work from April, prices would increase. I explained, this is to reflect the experience that I have gained and the value and efficiency that I bring to my work. I hope you will agree that this is fair and reasonable rate. Obviously, my heart rate hit the roof when I hit send every time, but no one batted an eyelid. I think they valued me giving notice so they could factor into their planning.
Oh, this is all so good. Kezia Hall, I recently took up the price raising gauntlet and increased my prices, get this, by 40%.
Woo!
It was terrifying. But I realised that all the resistance to putting prices up is mainly just drama in my head wasting my energy. I definitely feel better that my prices are more aligned with the value and energy I give out as a holistic nutritionist. I framed it as I hadn't increased my prices for 2 years and have completed an expensive postgraduate degree since then. Plus, I have found, weirdly, over the years that the more I charge, the better physical results my clients get. Sounds so weird, but true. So I also see it as a better outcome for them in the long run.
Yes, I think you up your game, don't you? Like, when you're getting paid a higher rate, you have the luxury of time to like really do a really good job, I guess.
But I think as well, especially from a nutrition or exercise health point of view, if your client is paying more, then they are more invested in it, aren't they?
Yeah.
They value it more.
That's a good point. It's a running theme here. It makes the client step up as well in terms of their feedback or contribution or whatever. Yeah. And Meg Hill says, I keep being told I need to raise my rates, but at the moment I like being affordable. I don't ever want people not to be able to access good quality support.
What does Meg do?
She does like pregnancy and postnatal support. So, and I imagine it's something she feels passionately about and wants everybody to access. So like, that's the other end of the spectrum, isn't it? It's like, yeah, not wanting to become inaccessible. He's frozen. Steve! Come in, Steve! balls. What happened there?
Did I just suddenly froze? Anyway, how the hell are you?
No, let's start with you, because you went to a very exciting conference, did you not?
Oh my gosh, I did. And actually, I saw people from the Doing It for the Kids community, from the Being Freelance community.
That's nice.
So it was the Youpreneur Summit. It's people who run online businesses, but at the heart of it is their own personality and brand, which I don't know about you, sounds a lot like us lot.
Indeed.
So yeah, I came away from this conference full of loads of ideas for what I can do for my business, but also for being freelance. And for us, we're doing it for the kids, podcasts and stuff like those.
Excellent.
Lots
I'm excited to hear those things, Steve.
And then I got back and I thought, can't wait to crack on tomorrow and start doing this. Get home to a message from my wife. Our daughter's been sick for the last 5 hours. You're going to have to stay home with her tomorrow.
As in like vomiting? She's been vomiting?
Yeah. Yeah. She picked up a germ from gymnastics where a girl was actually sick at gymnastics.
Oh, what?
So
come on now.
So yeah, they're all probably sick.
I swear to God, it's that time of year. I feel like I'm on a ticking time bomb when it comes to Noro, like as in norovirus. My husband and my son went to this like cycle park thing at the weekend, got an ice cream as you do in November, sat down on a chair and this family next to him, their son just like projectile vomited all over the floor. And I was like, no! I mean, I know they didn't like sit with them, but even that was enough. I was like, that's too close for comfort.
Only let your children out of the house wearing hazmat suits. It is the only sensible solution.
This week's question comes from Maya Swift, who is a copywriter, mayaswift.com. I've been freelance for nearly 4 years now, and although I have good months and rubbish months, on the whole, it's going well. In fact, to anyone just starting out as a freelancer, it would probably look like I'm making a success of it. I work on interesting projects, my day rate is reasonably high, and I rarely have to hunt for new leads. But in spite of that, I still rarely feel like I'm successful. Before having babies, I had a la-di-da job title at a well-respected agency, and I guess part of me feels like I gave up on my career and any career progression when I left that job. I used to have objectives and win pitches and manage freelancers, so now I'm not sure how to make myself feel like I'm actually doing well. It doesn't help that a lot of what I do is basically invisible. I don't have a product to sell or a work Instagram feed or any of those things that might help create a sense of achievement. Should I set objectives for myself or perhaps get a mentor? Do I need to be stricter about only taking on projects that feel more challenging than ones I've done before? Maybe I should post on LinkedIn about projects I'm working on. Cringe. Or should I redo my website and make a big song and dance about it? Is there any other way to feel like you're moving up instead of just along? I'm also aware that my lack of confidence when it comes to talking about being freelance doesn't help. A lot of my friends who have proper jobs shout about their promotions and business trips and awards, blah, blah, blah. While I struggle to talk confidently about what I'm working on, perhaps if I changed how I described my work, it would make me realise it's going well at the same time as showing other people what I've achieved. Thank you very much for a great podcast and group. It's such a joy to know there are other people out there who understand. Maya.
Oh my gosh.
Where do we start?
Let's start with the very beginning of what she said, which is basically the fact that she doesn't feel successful.
Mm. Despite clearly sounding pretty successful.
Yeah. Which means, what the hell is successful?
I don't know, Steve. What is successful?
You get to make the measure of your own success. The fact that you earn X amount of money is one level of success. The fact that you get to spend this amount of time with your kids is another level of success. Or you're working with certain clients that you want to do. Or honestly, there's so many different things that I could keep saying. But the fact is, they're all individual to you.
Yeah, and now you say that, a lot of her question is about how she feels she's being defined by what other people are doing or what other people think of her. So yeah, maybe what she needs to do is sit... This sounds so pretentious, I'm so sorry. But she needs to sit with herself. Like, what is it that she wants to be doing? What are her goals? What's her why, Steve?
Yeah, it's true though.
And like looking at what she's achieved in relation to that, because who gives a shit what other people are doing or what they think about you? That's not relevant. It doesn't matter. I don't know when she quit that corporate agency job, but like if you've worked in that kind of setup for a long period of time, you're like groomed to be, you know, you work according to yearly appraisals. There are structures in place to help you look at your achievements. If those structures are taken away from you, that's really disconcerting. And like, you can lose all sense of yourself and what you're doing. So maybe she needs to bring structure back in for herself as well, whatever that is.
Which she kind of starts to answer herself. You know, when she says, do I need a mentor? Well, strip away the word mental for a second and go by the fact that you don't feel successful because these other people. Get other people. Get new people. I'm not saying get rid of your old friends, but...
but maybe don't talk to them about work so much, yeah.
But if you, for example, in the doing it for the kids community or in a real life community near you or what, you know, if you're surrounding yourself with other people doing similar things to what you're doing, then they're going to have a different view of what success looks like in the first place.
But when I first started doing it for kids, one of the first people I met and talked to was a lady called Laura Alvarado. Hello, if she's listening. She runs Tomato Tutors, which is like a really cool holistic learning program and space for kids. Anyway, one of the first things she ever said to me, or piece of advice she ever said to me, was surround yourself with inspiring people and you'll be like fine, basically. I was like, boom. I've only been doing this for 5 minutes and that was just like, oh my god, yes.
To go into that mental word, yeah, I mean, why not, like a mentor or a coach or a mastermind, like whatever the way it looks, like a group of people who get what you do. And at the very heart of that, a mentor, or like Frankie and I do, a co-mentor or a business buddy or whatever you want to call it. It means that you can cheer each other on, you can hold each other accountable. And if you do want more structure to it, if you've been used to that kind of structure and there's nothing wrong with that at all, then working more formally with some kind of coach might help you put that in place. I bet you're progressing forward anyway, but if you have this thing, you know, where you say that you want to move up instead of along, you actually want to feel like you're hitting goals, then start setting those goals and have people know that you're setting them. I'm sure if you've worked in that corporate world, then you've been used to setting those SMART goals and things like that. Nothing wrong with the whole SMART thing. Do it with a coach, though, so that you've got that kind of framework in place and make it more formal. It's totally doable. Or if you don't want to pay for it, make it more informal with somebody else who's also craving the same sort of thing.
It rings true with some of the stuff we were talking about in a previous episode. I can't remember what number it was, but the one about, you know, when real life gets in the way of business growth. Just the idea that, like, we can be quite obsessive about growing. And it's like, do we need to grow? I know... she doesn't mention it in the question, but I know she works part-time around her kids. Like, there's only so much you can achieve in the hours that you've got. There's only so much you can do at that stage, as we've talked about a million times, seasons in your life. It sounds like she's a person that's prone to comparison, whether that's the people that are working in PAYE jobs or whether that's other freelancers that are supposedly doing bigger and better things than her. Maybe she needs to look at, like, all the amazing stuff she's doing now and just concentrate on that. There's that like classic Instagram motivational quote shit that's like, the person you are 3 years ago is looking at you now and like thinks it's unachievable or wants to be where you are now. Oh my God, that's such a bad...
Really? The person I was 3 years ago is saying, wow, are you still wearing that hoodie?
But you know what I'm trying to say? It's easy to get caught up in the everyday drudgery and you don't realise how much you've already achieved. And actually, you're not stagnant. You've actually achieved a lot in that time. Maybe you need to do some self-reflection, whether that's asking for, like, testimonials from your clients or updating your website or...
I think she says, like, she doesn't feel confident. Like, it's a confidence kind of issue. But it sounds like you're doing brilliantly. So you just need to look at the way you look at yourself or the way you look at yourself with other people.
I think a bit of external validation would be good in this instance. It sounds like she needs somebody to say, bloody hell, Maya, you're doing great. Come on now. Also, for the record, she is. I went to her website. She's got amazing clients. Her work looks fantastic.
In this particular instance, the way it's being asked, I feel like the right kind of coach, business coach or life coach, would genuinely...
make a big difference.
Yeah, because, I mean, we've both heard that has made a difference to lots of people.
Yeah, we can't speak from experience, to be fair.
No, but a really good coach helps you. They don't tell you what to do. They just help you unpick it all and figure it all out. And then they help you feel good about yourself when you're heading in the right direction that you say you want to go in.
I also think there's another layer to this in that. So it's not my experience because I was freelance before I had children. But her life sounds very classic in that she had this like swanky agency life, winning the awards, presumably having a nice time and, you know, whatever. Then had children and left that world and is now building her own thing while becoming a parent, a mother. And like, that's a massive identity shift on like 5 or 6 different levels. I felt this and I was freelance. Like, you feel like you're being left behind sometimes when you have kids, and that's such a horrible feeling. But again, it's like, concentrate on the stuff you are doing. So yeah, you're working part-time and there's only so much you can do in those hours, but you're also being an amazing parent and growing a person and whatever else you're doing. Like we touched on the other week, all that unpaid, unvalued work that parents do. You can get really, particularly if you're surrounded by a group of friends that are going to these awards still and living that same life that you were and you feel detached from, that must feel quite alienating and difficult. So like Steve says, find some people that hang out with those people too, but like, find some new people that understand the life you're living now and the challenges that you're up against and like the realities of your life.
Yeah, obviously we all pick up various different friends at various different stages of our life, and then there's family as well. But the more recent ones that I've made through going to freelance communities or meetups or like that entrepreneurial conference type thing, those people get what I'm going through far more. And in the case of doing it for the kids, even more so because of the whole layer of family. Those people have made so much more of a difference since kind of immersing myself and getting to know them closer.
And like, I spend most of my life now, talking about running a business and having children. That's my day-to-day life now. And a lot of people that I know before I had children would probably think the kind of conversations I'm having are dull as shit. But like, I think they're fascinating and inspiring and really interesting. So like, yeah, maybe you're just, you need to have those conversations with people that we're going to say it 1,000 times. Yeah, you get it.
There you go. I honestly feel like we've answered it. I feel like
really?
No, I do. I feel like she partly answered it herself, right?
Yes.
First of all, you've got to realign what you think success is. You've got to surround yourself with the right people. But also, if you need it, some sort of formulated approach, and just, figure out what those new markers are to celebrate if you're somebody who needs that in your life. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with needing that in your life.
We all need a bit of that.
Yeah. If your only counsel is yourself, that can be bad.
And when you're
news.
Stuck in, like, you know, the school run and the weekly shop, and it's just like you just keep going.
One after another, yeah.
Yeah, it's just, you know, Groundhog Day. And you never have the time and the space to just sit and go, oh my God, I've achieved loads of shit.
Yeah.
And that's and the cleaned thing. Up loads of it as well.
But that's why it's cool in our sort of co-mentoring situation.
Yes.
We get together and say, well, what did we do last month? It helps you focus both on the things you want to achieve going forward, but also make you realise what you've done looking back as well. Especially when you feel like you haven't, and the other person goes, well, hang on, what about when you did that? And you go, oh, yeah, actually, that was good. That was good.
Yeah, and that's not like a formal thing. We don't fill out any paperwork.
Nope.
No money is exchanged.
Nope.
It's just, you know.
Just cake.
Cake.
Help Maya out. Tell us your thoughts. Be it on Facebook. Episode 23 is what you're searching for on there when Frankie posts it there. Or on Twitter or Instagram. Hashtag DIFTK podcast. Make sure you're following Frankie on both of those anyway. Also, just a reminder that you can help support Frankie with what she's doing with Doing It For The Kids by buying her a coffee. It's a website where you can buy either a one-off coffee or a monthly one, but I recommend a monthly one because then you get her monthly email, which is all the things in her head, which is booms, just so flipping useful in itself and funny. And I loved your monologue at the beginning of the last one, by the way. I felt like I wanted to raise you on my shoulders and carry you through the town.
It is ko-fi.com, Kofi / doing it for the kids, spelt out. You know what I'm saying? And if you need more podcast listening in your life, you need to listen to Steve's other podcast, Being Freelance. Yeah, do you want to mention your live recording?
Oh, that would be cool, yeah. December the 13th in East London, in Hackney, we are starting the Underpinned Freelancers Christmas Party by doing a live version of the episode 200. So it would be, like, tickets are free, but you just have to go get them.
I'll be there. Steve will be there.
At the very least, it will be us two.
Yeah.
The details are at beingfreelance.com or check out the Underpinned website.
Bring on the mince pies.
Is this where you tell me you had one for breakfast?
No. I'm into them, but I'm not that into them. And I'm very specific about the ratio of filling to pastry. If it's too deep and too much filling, it's just wrong.
Yeah.
I also have to have it completely drowned in brandy cream.
Oh my God, really?
You can't have it dry. It's just wrong.
Oh, I do. No, I like it. Because then you can eat them in more situations. I mean, do you just take a hip flask of brandy butter out with them just in case?
I should. Okay, so like a miniature one, you know, the miniature mince pies. Those I can eat dry because they're like little hits of like...
Yeah, little hors d'oeuvre.
Sugar, yeah. But if it's going to be a proper one, I want it in a bowl, warm, with some sort of cream-based swimming pool.
Or you'd rather turn it away. So if you came over and I said, I've got mince pies, you'd be, have you got the brandy cream? And I'd say, no. You said, I'll leave it then, thanks.
If you're going to offer me like a super dense, deep mince pie, it's cold without any cream, I'd probably turn you down.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's wasted.
Do you know, I think it's important to have real morals in life and to stick to them, so good for you. Too many people waver from a position, but you've there's a line in the sand. That's the sort of thing which will get you to go on a march.